the Mom Genus Podcast. Two dental hygienists who became friends and later became moms, who understand the struggles, the joys, and the self-doubt of raising kids, staying sane, and working. Listen to our regular conversations about everything except the kitchen sink.
Welcome to the Mom Genus Podcast with Christy, Jasmine, and Karen. Enjoy the show.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to the Mom Genus Podcast. This is the co-host, Jasmine, and I am just here solo. I'm not here with Christy and Karen. I'm going to be talking about diversity and kind of sharing some tips and strategies that you can implement to share with your own children. But what I really want to focus on also is to help reach your heart and help you understand why diversity matters and why just the friendship that Karen and I have and Christy have is so important for the communities that we're building around the world. So, you know, I am African American, Christy is Native American, and Karen is Caucasian. And I think, you know, when we started our group, A Safe Place for Mom Genist, it was just Christy and I, and then Karen and I met a few years later, and I was like, why don't you join, right? Because I just loved our friendship with her. She was so fun. She had a new take on life. She's from the Midwest, and I'm from New York City. Christy's from Massachusetts, Boston, you know, like not Boston area, but the Cape area. And we just had unique perspectives on life. And what better way to build a bridge of love and compassion than, you know, letting it stem around our friendship. And I think that's so important to see, especially now. One of the ways in which we can be more empathetic and compassionate is when we consciously make the effort to have a diverse group of lives and perspectives in our world. When we know that we wake up every day and we go about in our daily tasks with our family and the people we meet and the people we choose to break bread with, and we look around and everyone looks the same and there's no diversity in food and thought and experiences, it becomes very easy to become afraid of things that are different. It could also put you in a place where you're not open to hearing other people's perspectives. And unfortunately, that doesn't lead to growth. And so I've grown as a person individually from my friendship with Christy, and I've grown as a person individually from my friendship with Karen. And I'm so happy that I have them in my life. And I'm so happy that I've taken the time to bring them into my life, to introduce them to my family, to my children, and let them see a diverse group of individuals who love and respect each other. And when that happens, then our children see it and we ourselves see it. Then when our friend who's expressing to us the pain that they're enduring, we're willing to listen because we love someone that's actually a representative from that side of the world or that side of experience. The fact of the matter is we're all human. We all have the same systems in our body. We all bleed red blood. You know, technically there's no biological difference, right, in ethnicity. It's a man-made issue. But the reality is that it's caused divides in our country and in the world. And it's important for us to continue to seek ways to build a bridge, which is why I really want to pour out to you today so that we understand how important diversity is. So one of the things that I want to encourage you all to do is to become a member of our Facebook group, A Safe Place for Mom Genus. Bring your diverse perspective and understand that diversity is at the forefront of that. We want to have moms from all different walks of life, from newborn stage to older stage to grandma stage. We want people to be a part of our group who have diverse religious beliefs. We want people to have diverse ethnicities. We want people to have diverse political views. You know, everyone is welcome, because at the end of the day, we're all women and we're all striving to be the best that we can be in our own lives. And it's so powerful to be able to do that in a community where everyone is safe, where everyone is heard, and it's a true sisterhood. And that's what the culture of Mom Genesis is about. It's not about hating one another because we may have a different viewpoint. It's about listening and being compassionate. And we need more of that in the world more than anything. So that's a little bit about, you know, what we want to do with Mom Genesis. But I think it's also important to really think about our own lives. And I think the fundamental thing that we need to do is first listen. Listen to our experiences of our colleagues, of our friends, to seek out diverse foods, you know, places, lands, wherever you may visit, friends, of course. Taking that time to learn about the differences is what makes life beautiful. So we're going to take just a moment to listen to some of the experiences that I've received. I put out a survey for some of our colleagues to kind of share some of their experiences. And we've got some colleagues who are persons of color or BIPOC. And we have some who are Caucasian that have responded to this, which is pretty awesome. So I'm going to read a few here, and hopefully you're not too, you know, busy, but I do want you to be able to listen to some of these experiences and be able to see how difficult it can be for some. So this response is from a dental hygienist of color, and this is what she states. I am the only person of color in my office. I can remember the day as if it were yesterday. I had an older gentleman patient with a heavy southern accent. He had a problem with his denture that he wanted looked at. So I told the doctor what he wanted and imitated his southern drawl. My doctor looked at me and said, "Oh, is that what colored folks say?" I was mortified. This is in addition to the color references when comparing tans. Political jokes, I could go on and on. Thank you for sharing your story. This hygienist goes on to share this story. On October 10th, 2018, I'm celebrating my son's 30th birthday. It's a beautiful day. My students are thriving, and they are celebrating with me. At lunch, I'm sitting with a co-teacher and the program manager. Out of the blue, the program manager says, "So how old were you when you had your son?" I took one breath and said, 16, 17. She's my manager. I never fathomed the direction things went. I'm sure I answered out of respect for her as my manager. What she proceeded to do was appalling, disrespectful, degrading, hurtful, and unfortunately planned. I was later told by the co-worker she left because the manager said she was going to ask the age question and see where it goes. Her second question was, "Well, how old was the father?" Again, out of respect, I answered. "That's statutory rape," she said. I know the good Lord held my mind, my tongue, and every fiber of my body. I truly had to be honest to understand had he not, I would be in jail. 24 hours was the time I remember. I needed to wait to inform the director and HR. A written reprimand following an HR meeting was a consequence. I completed the 5-year experience seeing her every day, and I know I'm a better person because I did not let her force me out earlier. She lived for the day to call her husband a rapist. Thank you for sharing your story. This is from another colleague of ours who is Caucasian, and she stated, "I work for a dentist who was originally from Nigeria, and it was often that a patient would come for an appointment and allude to the Nigerian culture and compare it with greed or simply being nervous about her competency. She had an African-American assistant, and I was the only Caucasian there. I spent a lot of time educating my patients that she was highly qualified, skilled, and they were in great hands all around. Thank you for sharing. This is from a hygienist of color. There were numerous times when upon walking into an interview, I would be met with such a harsh and rejecting manner, even before speaking, but after a pleasant and enjoyable phone interview. I've had interviewers stand over me with crossed arms. One dentist told me that I should apply and move to an urban city where I would be more appreciated. Another dentist told me that the world of dentistry is about selling a brand and I don't fit the brand. They are looking for pretty, bubbly, blonde, and young. Many patients decline to see me as soon as they see me. I've had one patient get furious about her daughter seeing me. She kept asking the daughter if she felt safe and if she was okay. She said because her daughter had anxiety and requested to see a certain hygienist. The note on the account stated that mother was made aware that she would be seeing a different dental hygienist, and the mom said it was okay. The daughter was embarrassed and said she felt perfectly fine. I've had so many patients ask about my upbringing, look down, or belittle my education because I went to a community college. They would ask me what side of the town I grew up in, and even if my dad was still in my life. More than anything, what we can really describe is a feeling we all know and understand when someone looks at you like you're dirt and disgust. No matter how many times we experience this, it really hurts because there is nothing we did wrong, nothing we can change. As a black hygienist, I always ask front desk to let patients know that they will be seeing a different RDH just out of fear of them showing up and causing a scene. I even started putting my pic on my resume after having so many jobs call me in for an interview but end up not liking how I look. Rather protect my time and my heart. It took me too long to find a job, or twice as long to find a job as my classmates. Thank you for sharing. Another colleague shares, we have an older white male dentist sell his dental office to come work at a clinic that serves underserved communities. The patient population and staff are majority racial ethnic minority. Since he's been there, the turnover rate is crazy. He responds to a patient who mentions a change in staff by saying, "We follow protocols since I'm here because I cracked the rip." We report his statements, patients complain, and nothing happens. We had a volunteer dentist who's been coming for years to the clinic speak to the founder of the company about the problem. This white gentleman tells them that he is rude and disrespectful to the patients, and the founder says, "Well, I've never seen or heard him say this." A true example of the good old boys club. Needless to say, we lost a great dependable volunteer because he decided to continue to work in that type of environment. Thank you for sharing. This is our final one. After seating a patient a few years ago, I said my usual, "Have a seat and get comfortable." And he said to me, "How would you feel if I told you to get comfortable in this chair surrounded by white men with sheets, yelling KKK. My heart dropped, but I looked him in the eyes and said, "With the God I serve, I fear no evil." I was so hurt and disgusted, all I could do was hum hymns as I cleaned his teeth. When the dentist came in to see how he acted, as if everything was okay, I got sick to my stomach. I grabbed another hygienist, told her what happened, and immediately went to the bathroom to vomit. When I finally came out of the bathroom, I was a mess, but I refused to let him see me like that. The entire office, all white, was bothered, and my boss came to me to let me know that he would be dismissing him as a patient. That made me feel a little better to know that they stood up for me, but that didn't last long. Apparently, it never happened, and right now, that is a major disappointment for me. I guess they figure his money was good enough to excuse his racist behavior. I saw him in with another hygienist 6 months later and felt so betrayed and let down. I have ignored it up until now because this is how such individuals continue to treat this way, people this way, because they are not punished or reprimanded. It's been so heavy on my heart, especially with so much hate publicized, and now I no longer feel safe or protected there. This week has been very uncomfortable, and my anxiety has been through the roof, praying this gets better sooner. Thank you for sharing. And there's more. I mean, there's so many more responses that I've received from other hygienists who have shared or have witnessed people having a lack of cultural sensitivity. And I share that with you so that at least you can get an opportunity to listen. And I would say the next step for anyone that wants to push diversity and to understand so that everyone has a safe place is to make sure that they begin educating themselves. Educating yourself on diversity doesn't mean that you ask a friend that is completely of a different race. And of course, you already know, or, you know, different background, you can ask them and have, you know, one-on-one deep conversations. But the work really starts with picking up a book, right? Picking up a book, learning in that manner. The book that I recommend is Waking Up White. And I recommend that book because I wind up being on a trip unexpectedly with another speaker who was from Arizona. And that conversation really helped me to have more grace and empathy for those who have an experience being around a diverse population. It also helped me to see why so many others could not understand some of the perspectives that some of our colleagues had. And that book actually starts the conversation to help others understand ethnicity and race and our own roles in it. And it's actually written by an amazing woman who grew up in Massachusetts, Caucasian, fairly well-off higher middle class family. And she discussed her views of race and what kind of awakening she's gone through. And what I like about the book is that at the end of the chapters, they actually have questions that you can actually utilize to go through your own journey. And I highly recommend that book because of the impact it's made on others to help them to understand their place and how we can build a more safe environment for all, okay? So for BIPOC, Black, Indigenous persons of color, and for our white colleagues and friends and family, we should all be joining in together and learning about one another and building a bridge of love and respect. All right, so I do want to share one other final tip for the parents out there that may be listening and have listened to some of the experiences and some of our thoughts of what we're trying to build. And this is not meant to be some long, drawn-out thing. It's fairly simple. So for those parents that want to teach your children about diversity, one of the most simple ways is finding ways that you can interact with a more diverse group of friends that have children and allowing those children to play together and to enjoy one another. Buying toys that promote diversity are really important as well. Having toys that show a diverse group and not just one is really important. You know, I had, as a person of color, as an African American, it was important for me to have dolls that look like me so that I can have, you know, love for myself and my, even though I wasn't the majority. So it's the same for our friends who are persons of color and those who are of the majority to diversify the toys for our children and diversify the literature that they read. What kind of books are you providing? When you look in the book, does everyone look the same or does it show what the world really looks like? It was really important for me as a mom to make sure that my children have access to the different books that show what the world truly looks like. And it's really helped them. My children have close friends who are white. They have close friends who are Hispanic. They have close friends who are Asian. And it's primarily because of our religious upbringing, but also because I'm very intentional about building friendships with those who are just good people, right? And they come from different walks of life. And that's really, really important. And having your children have access to that. If you don't have access to that, perhaps there's some cultural events like festivals and other things that happen in your area. Now, of course, we know that COVID has changed a lot of things, but what could you introduce? Even if it's on the television, what can you introduce that shows that other people exist? I saw a clip of a person asking her son, this young man may have been like 11 or so, what he thought about this image of these two little kids. One was a, you know, kind of a darker complexion, brown little boy, and the other boy was a little Caucasian boy. And he asked, what do you think about this picture? Do you see anything different or anything? He was like, no, it's just some friends, right? And the mother was like, man, this feels so good that I'm raising my son, who was a white young man, around, you know, 10, 11 years old. He didn't see a difference. He just saw friends together. And that is what we need, right? We need to expose them to having that diverse outlook on life and knowing that having friendships with people, having breaking bread with them, bringing them over to our house, getting to know them, having those tough conversations are normal. And that's how we start building those communities that we need. Now, of course, we'll get to a point where we'll come on together as a group again, and we'll talk about how to have some of the tough conversations, the not so good side of race and things that have happened in our country, how to handle that. But for now, let's think about things on the positive, right? We're going to start working with learning about others, listening to their stories, being open to listen, being open-minded, taking the time to educate ourselves, making sure that we see that diversity matters in our own life, right? Whether it's within our own conversations, whether we're in, you know, play areas for our kids, if we see someone that's doing something that isn't promoting a safe place for others, whether it be for ethnicity, whether it be towards women, whether it be towards someone because of their religious views, are we standing up and speaking and saying that's not okay? Collectively as a group, for us to build a community of love and respect and to build a community where we are all safe and accepted, it's going to require us all to do our part and make sure that we are calling it out when it's wrong, right? So hopefully this conversation and some of the stories, and sorry I was kind of fumbling a little bit over my words with them, just gives us an opportunity to be in a place of growth. That's all. We want growth and we want more community and we want a sisterhood. And that's what the Mom Genus podcast stands for. So if you haven't, go ahead and look us up on Facebook, Safe Place for Mom Genus. Make sure you answer all the questions. We would love to have you a part of that group. We want to continue to keep growing, to keep serving you all, and to provide that safe place of sisterhood. All right. I'll see you in our next episode. Bye.
Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review.
Like us on Facebook.
See you next time.